With technology increasingly affecting every aspect of our lives, it's important to understand how it affects us psychologically. Welcome to the Psychology of Technology podcast, where we look at how humans and machines collide. And welcome to the Psychology of Technology with me, Kareem Tawansi, and the wonderful...
Mr. Wonderful.
Brett Raven.
Mr. Wonderful Brett Raven. How are you going today, Mr. Wonderful Raven?
Not bad, sir. Thank you.
How's your smartwatch?
It's smarter now that I've charged it.
Yeah, does help.
It does help.
It's one of the only problems with smartwatches. They run out of juice quickly. But yeah. I've only recently moved into the world of smartwatches, and I feel like I've missed out so much because they're so wonderful.
They are useful. You know, I wonder if it's going to get to a point. Remember the old watches, they would wind themselves kinetically?
Yeah.
I wonder if they will start, you know, using different techniques like light, solar, kinetics, and so on to start recharging
them. That's a good idea.
You've
heard that here first on Psychology of Technology. What a great idea.
There you go.
So, as we continue on our series of migrating to the web, today we're going to talk a little bit about getting the engagement mile right. Now, this is probably the lesser sexy part of the software innovation world, but when you have two or more organizations engaging together, I think the agreements that go in place are all important. Too many times people just focus on the tech work and they rush to getting the tech work started, but they don't think about the bigger picture. And getting that engagement model right is so key. So I'm just going to throw out a few definitions, some of the definitions we use in our organization. So for most people, time and materials is pretty straightforward. You're just paying by the hour effectively, especially in a professional services organization. Fixed price is probably also pretty straightforward. You agree on a lump sum for a certain amount of scope. And then the other one is referred to as target cost or cost target, depending on who you are and where you are in the world, is sort of a hybrid of the two, where you agree on scope and you agree on a price, but there is some built-in ability to move things in and out of the scope without going through a whole contract negotiation or variations. So remembering, of course, that there's so many friction points in building software, eliminating friction points is a big part of success. And so getting that procurement model right from day one is really important. Otherwise, that you're going to have ongoing friction outside of the core of what you're trying to do. So as you've been on both sides of the fence, client and provider, what are some things that you would suggest to steer away from or recommendations in terms of getting the engagement model right?
Look, I think all three models are appropriate in certain circumstances. Time and materials, whilst it feels a bit like a risky proposition, when you're inventing something new and you don't really know what you want, time and materials is probably the only way to go. It would be unfair to try and fix cost with a provider, something that is not really clearly defined. So T&M works really well for that kind of innovation where you're inventing something. Of course, putting some gateways in that you basically say, you know, for X amount of hours, plus or minus 20%, this is what we kind of expect to get to. And, you know, you can look based on like things like burn down and so on to try and build that relationship. But there's a trust requirement in there that's important to have. And usually that doesn't come as a first engagement.
I think it's also important to note that a large part of software development is invention or innovation. Mm. And sometimes you just don't know how long that's going to take until you get there.
That's right.
And the good old unknown expression pops up again, but it's so true. And I think that's where a lot of things can fall down, or a lot of projects can fall down, where there are unknown unknowns, unmet expectations, and then the finger pointing starts.
Yeah.
It's your fault, no, it's your fault. And the physical build world obviously preceded the virtual building world, or the software development world. So people have been putting together physical scope or bills of material and scope of works, you know, since day dot almost. And those negotiations tend to be very specific. The problem with software is that software is constantly changing, and that by the time you end a project, so many things have changed in comparison to when you started.
You know, I've learned over the years, though, has been being through a couple of renovations and some other small building projects and so on. there's not much difference in the way that a project would come out anymore between, say, a construction business, a construction process, construction project, and a software project. And the reason why I say that is, whilst you start at the beginning with a fixed cost, the variations come through anyway. And I think people are used to that from a building perspective, but it doesn't seem to translate well into their minds around software, which has always been puzzling to me. So variations exist. You know, scope will change. You know, you put a window in there, you want now a window over here. That happens on building sites all the time. Or as the builder pulls down a wall, they discover asbestos behind it, so they have to remove that. It's an extra cost. There's a variation involved. So the unknowns are things that happen all the time.
So how many times has a builder ever said to you, it's going to cost you, round figure, $100,000, but you should put $20,000 aside for the unknown unknowns?
Like, they never say that to you directly.
No.
But your friends do, because they've been through the same process. And 10 to 20% is a pretty good number, I would say.
Yeah.
For software and for home building and for whatever you're doing, to have as a buffer, because you will come across things that are not really clear.
See, the problem, I think, as being a vendor, is if you said, well, the price is $100,000 plus $20,000, then most clients are going to go, well, that's $120,000.
Yeah,
and then the next person who doesn't say the $20,000 comes in 20% cheaper, thereabouts.
So I think, the time and materials is good for that innovation and maybe business as usual type stuff, so maintenance on ad hoc. Fixed cost only works when you're very clear and you don't have any expectation of change, mm-hmm. and you are willing to pay for variations. The target cost approach, though, has been one that I've been a big fan of over the years.
Yeah, me too.
And this does come from the construction industry. So a good friend of mine is a estimator for massive infrastructure projects in Australia, and they always build in targeted approach contracts, right, where there's going to be, as you can imagine, building a bridge or a road, there's going to be things that come up that are unforeseen. So how do they factor in the extra cost for it? I think that's the most appropriate, and the way the mechanics in reality, what tends to happen is the supplier and the customer share the upside and share the pain.
Yeah.
And, the model's pretty straightforward. If the project goes over, let's say you've booked 100 days, you've estimated 100 days, and you and the customer agree on that, and the project goes to 120 days, then you get paid for 10 days, the extra 10 days.
Hmm.
If it's under that, then you get to keep 10 days worth of, if it's 20 days under, you get to keep 10 days worth of revenue. So there's pluses and minuses to it, but it's a shared environment, and again, there's a level of trust that is required there.
So that's what I was going to get to, because that's one way of doing it. Another way I've heard of doing it is that it's 100 days, and then if a new requirement comes in, the vendor can often say, well, let's swap it out, and that keeps everybody sort of at equilibrium. But I think the trust thing is really important. What I've found is that when organizations are engaging for the first time, fixed price is preferred option, especially for the for the organization that's providing the funds, and generally speaking, it's the vendor will likely
wear most of the risk.
Wear a lot of the risk in that instance, and that's fine for a long-term relationship because both parties have to win. It has to be a win-win in the long term. Yeah. If you're just going to go from one vendor to another, then you might win those battles, but you'll definitely lose the war because you're going to lose so much IP and a cost associated with it. So, that's what I found. I found that it's fixed price for the first piece, and then for all the other subsequent reasonable size pieces, it's cost target, and then some smaller pieces can be on pure T&M because they're so small.
And I think T&M will work really well when you have an established relationship with a lot of trust. It actually works out really well for both parties.
Yeah.
So as you've identified before, fixed cost, somebody's going to lose.
Yeah.
Either you will lose as a provider or the customer has paid too much in reality. Target cost is the most equitable one in many cases because there's share of upside and downside. Time materials is the most efficient in my view because if there's a trusted relationship there, then you're only paying and you get paid for what you do.
Yeah, no money left on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on those words, I'd like to bid you farewell.
Adieu. Keep on rocking it, baby.
Keep on rocking it, baby.